It is Thursday, the 12th of December, and this is episode 192 of Digital Outbox. Hello. Welcome to the final Digital Outbox of 2013. I'm Chris, joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Christopher.
You're right.
I'm fine.
Final one, end of term feeling. We've got our board games out.
I'm finished for the year. That's me.
Are you done? Bloody hell.
I was done on Monday and I was on holiday today, but I was at work.
Right.
but yeah, I'm done.
Well, like most people, I've got to keep going till Christmas Eve. That's a nice break you got going there.
Yes. If I'd stopped on Monday, it would be nice because we're doing a full 4 weeks. So don't go back to the 6th of Jan.
Wow. I was going to make a really horrible jibe about getting used to that. I'm not going to.
That wouldn't be in relation to like all my job losses at our work, would it?
I can't believe you said that, Ian. I would never have come up with anything like that.
It's like you've turned into Scrooge and the ghost of Christmas past is going to come visit.
I've been in a rubbish mood, not helped by the fact that my computer didn't want to boot properly just before coming onto the podcast. Enough of my woes, though. This is the happy end of year feel. So let's get on with some happy news. and happy news because in this time of Christmas and good cheer, all the technology firms have suddenly managed to band together in one happy little conglomerate. And all because they've written a letter to tell the world's governments that they don't like the surveillance that's going on.
And visions of all these tech firms is either like Band of Brothers or it was like all the little hobbits about to get raped by Gandalf. I couldn't quite which metaphor kind of made most sense. But yeah.
So these most powerful things have realised in the world they're not the most powerful. So the companies have come together to try and get rid of these evil surveillance people.
ReformGovernmentSurveillance.com.
There we go. So they've basically written a letter saying, look, this is out of hand. We need it to be reined in. We need it to be limited. And we need it to be open and clear what is and is not right and just.
Yep, so Google, Apple, Facebook, Twitter, AOL, Microsoft, LinkedIn, and Yahoo. Yahoo's basically just
I wonder
like,
what that meeting was like.
I think the other seven were all happy and Yahoo were like, me too, me too.
They're the three yeah. Telecom. that again, it's good that they have banded together and whether they will get listened to is another thing.
Yeah, no Amazon because they're basically like, we want to sniff all your data as well so we can sell you more stuff.
Yeah, not that the other companies do that at all. Anyway,
no.
So anyway, that letter's gone. So
will it make a difference?
I doubt anything will happen. For
nah.
Not a blind thing. But never mind. At least they've trying. social media users are going to get legal advice from the government's chief legal advisor. He's going to let us know, let kids know, is what he's saying, what they can and cannot say without getting into trouble online. Which, again, this wouldn't have been needed up until fairly recently. But now with Facebook and Twitter, it's actually very easy for people to get into quite serious trouble by shooting their mouth off on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes. So this is the Attorney General, Dominic Grieve, who is actually trying to make... And his take, it's not so much the... They've not talked about, like, you know, people slagging each other off or whatever. It's more, you know, people that are trials or if there's legal... you know, if there's a website that's maybe released some details and somebody's even just retweeting it, you can't do it. And that's what he's basically highlighting, that even just retweeting something or saying, I've seen somebody else see it, so I'll see it as well. And I'm trying to remember who did it recently. I think it was about the kind of lost profits guy who was done for all the kind of hideous child sex nonsense that went on. And I think there was a website or there was another tweet that had mentioned the two mothers' names of the kind of young kids that were involved. And there was people retweeting it and saying it was already out there, so it's okay. And it's like, well, it's not.
Mm. And saying that's, and these are all, say, new modern problems for that kids are going to have to grow up with and get used to. And to be honest, adults as well, but we're all a bit lost cause. But it, whether he will gain enough followers or whether they're going to publish this all in the right place that it's going to be of interest. I mean, you ain't going to get kids reading that by choice, I don't think. But nevertheless, it's important, and it's important that it's out there.
Yes.
And open for everyone to actually read and be advised on.
I think this is why messaging apps are kind of taking off again. You know, I think it, you know, the especially
yeah, people
the group ones.
Removing away from the public sphere.
Yep. You know, message it, do it via group chats and all that kind of nonsense, yeah. And it's all a bit safer.
Yeah, back to your own private circle of communication, basically. And then, only governments are listening in then, rather than the courts. Twitter's been updating their app, and they sort of, some fundamental changes of design again, more directing towards direct messages. So, that, you know, this all coming back to this kind of, you know, who are you messaging with? So they want to start pushing their direct message because they've seen some people eroding into their customer base by, you know, WhatsApp and people like that doing sort of direct messages.
Yeah, there's WhatsApp, there's Line, there's quite a few. And their user base is all growing really quickly. You know, so they went from 100 million to 300 million users within the space of like a year.
And we talked about Snapchat and how much they were worth,
Was it 4 billion, 2 billion?
Something like that. So yeah, clearly people are catching on to this, you know, no history chat channels and stuff like that.
Yeah. The strange thing in Twitter was they almost spent the last year moving away from direct messages as if it was like the ugly
baby. They hid
baby.
It away,
yeah.
Really, really deeply hid it away.
Unless you're using a third-party client, you know, which made it a lot easier. You know, if you're using Tweetbot, it's dead easy to do. And I'd actually used it, you know, for DMing quite a bit. But Twitter really hid it, and then they've kind of done a role reversal now, and kind of it's front and center. And also you can attach photos, but only if you use their client. There's no third-party client support. I don't think there's any API support. So you've got to use that. And also, when you fire it up, and you say new message, it's like straight away it puts all your photos and said, do you want to put a photo in? It doesn't even give you a button. It's like photos. And yeah. Are you sure you don't want to do this?
Yeah. So basically, they want a slice of the sexting action, basically, don't they? rather than the public thing. It's basically, most Twitter announcements have been pretty dry since they took everything in-house. We've seen very little actual innovation within Twitter like we did to start with. You know, it's kind of solidifying itself down, and this isn't really anything new. It's just a slight different direction to what they were doing before, that's all. Nothing new here. They're trying to push this conversations idea and the visualization of that sort of change.
I really don't like the kind of blue line, and I've kind of put it in the notes. There was this, you know, blue line conversation mode, and they're emphasizing it more now as well. I just don't like it.
But I mean, none of this is relevant for me anyway, because I only ever use Twitter on Tweetbot anyway. So, and you know, none of that's there really.
No, I still have a slight inkling that at some point they will just say third parties. Cheerio.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen, and they've got to feel like they're in a strong enough position to do that. And whether that will work, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they updated their.
I've used Twitter so lightly at the moment. Anyway, I hardly ever use it.
I need to go on a cull. I've spent the last year just, you know, every week, 2 weeks, you know, following a couple more people, and it's just built up into now. If I miss 3-4 hours, it's like too much, and I just need to say be gone.
Well, that's the thing, because I'm now out of the habit of actually looking at it. It becomes less and less relevant because I don't go and fill in the gaps, and I'm not really that interested in some of the immediacy of it also. And, you know, Twitter almost like you feels like, and that's why people are on Twitter all the time. It's because they feel like they're missing out if they're not listening in. But I've just got out of the habit, and you know, you don't miss it that much when it's not there.
No, and I'm the same. There's days, but I've just today was one. I mean, I was at work, really busy. I came home, and there was like 1,200 tweets, and I'm like, no,
yeah,
that's not happening.
Not bothered.
But what I need to do is I'm going a bit of a call and use lists, because I do miss the friends, you know, updates that I then miss, and every so often I'm like, I've missed something there because he's talking about something,
yeah,
and it sounds important, and I'm
missed that. Yeah.
And also,
so yeah, but going back to actually being a friends thing rather than actually just a general,
and just making sure that I'm using lists, you know, so there's all the overall timeline, but you know, I can have a list of friends and list of, you know, liquors, list of liquors. What was that? list of like Apple folk and all that kind of stuff. Just make it a bit more easy to follow. And but also Twitter have just updated their Mac app, which they hadn't updated in like 18 months. They basically said it was dead. And there was an update about 2-3 months ago. And there's now a new version tonight, which actually looks like Tweetbot.
Right, okay. Well, I might actually dig into that and have a look to see what it's about. There you go. That's Twitter. Someone else vying for your sexts and your online bullies. Instagram is now allowing you to send direct messages effectively. But, you know, you have to spark them off but with an image. So they're not moving away from images, but you can now share an image with selected people and then have a kind of to and fro conversation about that image with just those people.
And again,
so yes, school bullies are rejoicing.
This is the same. It's the same as what we just covered. They're seeing the threat from, you know, WhatsApp and others and thinking we need to do something here. We need to have something, some equivalent. Snapchat as well. You know, that idea that yes, you do want to share some images publicly, but there's actually other ones. You know, that I mean, I sent one to Shaq tonight and I was like, oh, I only want him to see that. That's special.
So yeah, there you go. They're doing that as well. I don't think there was anything else even in there, was it? It's just something to do with if you're not currently following them, then it kind of pens your message rather than dumping it straight in your inbox. So it kind of hides spam away from people who just wants to share images with you.
I'm actually surprised there wasn't any like tablet support. I thought they would have done something around that. Just with so many,
because they're still really weak on tablets, aren't they?
It's iPhone and iOS. It's iPhone, unless you want to go for the expanded app. And there's a whole lot of third parties that are doing.
Yes, third parties do it rather than the actual main one.
Yeah. And I'm just surprised, but there's been so many tablets that they don't see it as a priority.
Spotify have clearly seen tablets as priority because they have now launched a free service on tablets. So up until now, you've had to be a $9.99 subscriber in order to get anything on your tablet. So that was your sort of full paid up member of Spotify. But now they're releasing a free, basically like the desktop version on your tablet. So you can listen ad supported for as long as you like and to any tracks because they've lifted all the limits. On the phones, they've got a free shuffle service basically. So again, ad supported, and you can choose your artist that you want to listen to. It's a bit more like a Pandora type things, but have a little bit more control than that. So that's what they're doing on phones. Really pushing to try and get people in.
Yes. And I think probably the impending competition, iTunes Radio, will be with us soon. Obviously, Google.
Yeah, probably means all that's going on in the background, right?
Yeah. Well, if you sign on in your iOS device as an American, if you've got an American account, sorry, and you sign in, you get iTunes Radio.
Right.
Okay. And I guess they just know it is coming. Google's obviously done a lot with their music play options recently, including bring it to iOS. So I think that they had to do, their hands were forced, you know, to try. And I think they're seeing also that it's a bit like in desktop, they're converting quite a lot of people over to premium. And if they can get people onto, you know, using their service, premium becomes a bit more of a more palatable option.
Quadruple the numbers of people signing up for $4.99 is better than a quarter of them signing up for $9.99. So. You know, you get more money that way. And it's so good move. And say the biggest thing is all these restrictions that used to be there. You know, play it. You know, you can only play a certain song a certain number of times and X number of hours per month. So that's all gone now.
Yeah, which I hadn't really realised that free users were having those issues. You know, it's 10 hours a month.
It was more that you just could only play one song a number of times, like three times. And that was it. Gone forever. So, yeah. Boo and nice that it's now gone.
Well, hey.
Three, they still exist. Mobile, they are going to offer free. If you're a Three customer, basically you will be able to take your phone now to America and still use all your standard contract minutes on texts and phone calls and also mobile.
Yeehaw!
Good for them.
That is really good because there's lots.
Yeah, really good.
You know, I'm guessing America's probably still one of the. You know, quite a big destination for UK folk.
Yeah. So apparently, I didn't even know this, that, or we probably talked about it at some point. Their Feel at Home offering was already out in Australia, Austria, Denmark, Italy, and Hong Kong. And that meant you could do this already. So you could use your own minutes and data there. But they've extended it. And I'm surprised that they haven't mentioned the other places, because obviously US, no one cares about. But Indonesia, Sri Lanka, and Macau, you can now go there. Surely that's highly important.
I can't see Macau without Macau.
So anyway, so yes, that's all good. And it sounds like it's extending. And I have the impression that other mobile companies will go this way.
I think Europe is the hand not forced next year.
Well, there's certainly all the legislation coming in to say that the roaming charges have to be significantly cut.
So I think the hand's pretty much getting forced. And I think 3A are trying to be a bit more, let's again do something different, a bit like with the 4G when they said price isn't increasing. You'll get 4G. And we've actually seen this week that London, Birmingham, Manchester, there was a carrier update came out. And if you had 4G enabled on your iPhone, you were getting 4G.
There you go. So
speed's slightly disappointing.
Right.
And that where we're seeing like O2s and Vodafones, I think we're about 20, 25, and EE's up at 40 in certain areas. The 3's 4G seem to be between 4 and 14.
Okay. So it's still for mobile, it's still fairly reasonable.
I think it's excellent because you're still the only provider that's giving you unlimited, data.
Yeah. And if you remember when 3 won the auctions, that the 3 won were the kind of slightly weaker end of the spectrum, which wasn't so penetrating, if houses and buildings and stuff. So it's not surprising it varies a fair bit.
I still have the fear that I'm kind of hanging on to 3 with its shady connection at my office, looking for 4 next year, and I bet you it's like, rubbish.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Are the days of trying to plug in a USB socket only to find out that you're putting it in the wrong way, turning it round only to realize you did have it the right way, it just wasn't going in straight, are they over?
I don't get about this. Somebody when they were doing USB 2 must have said surely we should just make it plug in both ways. Was he laughed at? Was he poo-pooed? Was there like the devil was sitting there in the meeting and saying, don't be stupid?
They were thinking about all their machining tools that would have had to be changed. So, that's what
don't be stupid.
About.
Let's frustrate the world.
So anyway, Type-C, USB Type-C has been announced. And it is a plug that can be plugged in either way round, based around the USB 3.1 specification.
What a breakthrough.
Due out middle of 2014. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I thank Apple. Lightning.
Yeah, I think that did show the way. And it is one of those silly, silly problems, isn't it? That it doesn't matter how many times you try and put a USB in, even when you know that you're the right way around, it still won't go in. So you try it the other way around and it's silly. Anyway, this is 10 gigabits per second, which is nice. And I'm sure it will become very popular.
I think the only people who won't adopt it are Microsoft. And the reason is that I only realised that they'd put a proprietary connector on a USB 3 port just to kind of spite everybody wanting to plug it into their Macs or PCs. Right. And you're just like, you cock. Just cock, biggest cock of the world for doing that.
Like say cock again?
Bama. Yeah. In fact, I read an article yesterday and it was like Bama had his hands all over Xbox. And it's like, doesn't it just show? Because he probably thought it was a really small console in his hands. Jesus Christ.
Aldi. I like this tablet and I like this tablet. Aldi are in the tablet market. $79.99 for their median life tab, which is an Android, kind of a middle of the road Android, pretty underpowered, but nevertheless, it's £80. It's pretty incredible price. It seems like everyone wants a tablet nowadays.
It's clearly a tablet Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because everybody, Argos are sold out of theirs, even though it was mints. You know, Aldi did actually say we sold out. How many did you sell? We sold out. So I think there was some reports that some stores had like two. And so fair enough.
The kind of people buying these tablets, I mean, people are saying, this is an underpowered tablet and really compared to the competition, it's not very good. But, it's still a tablet. And the kind of people that are buying this, it's the same kind of people who would go and buy a flat screen TV from on impulse in a supermarket. They're not really looking at what, you know, they're just looking at the box thinking, oh, I could do with a new TV. They don't really care if it's the, you know,
no,
top of the range or not. They just want that thing and they're going to spend that money.
And for we're laughing at it and we're saying it's underpowered, but for a lot of us, a lot of people we just call us snobs, you know, for our obsession
runs
with
the apps.
Yep. You know, our obsession with, you know, what has to be, you know, slick, fast, all these
your obsession.
Come on. You just have to moan about
your computer doesn't take 20 minutes to boot.
Yeah, but I've not moaned about it for the last half an hour either.
That's true.
So who's got the obsession now?
Yeah, and as long as it plays Candy Crush, what more do you need?
And I'm pretty sure you're obsessing about, oh, what tire should I use? Well, obsess. Anyway.
My kitchen is covered in tires right now. What? New ones put on today.
I vaguely now remember a picture of your kitchen which had tires stacked.
And it looks like that again today.
Wow.
Okay. But it's actually swapped, so now the tires that were at the bottom are now at the top with wheels in them.
Anyway, tablets.
There we go. Fun. Yeah, so tablets. This is, again, not breaking any records. In fact, it's likely to, you know, not, you know, be current in the next probably 6 months or so. But again, like I say, it's not really what that it's aimed at.
But I mean, I threw in the stats there about Tesco. So they had their Huddle tablet and it sold 300,000 since September. And it was only, I think it was only on sale for about 6-8 weeks. And they confirmed that there was a new one going to come out March, April. They're really pleased with the sales on it and what they've got out of it. So they are doing a version two.
Good for them.
Yeah.
You can now back up your Google Mail and your Google Calendar data. I think we probably talked about this probably about a year ago, if not more, about Google's free access to your own data. It was about the time that Facebook were really clamping down and not giving you anything at all and not even letting you, you know, delete your data. Google said, we'll let you have access to all your data. And they finally put the service in place to allow you to download all your emails and your calendar. Taking them a while.
It has. And they're actually really good with the other data sources. You know, you can export your data and take it with you. But mail's always been problematic. And so much so. And there was lots of people, and fair enough, if you've got a concern about it, then move. But there's a lot of kind of back fanboys that are all, oh, let's go to, you know, some other source because or some other host for mail because Google are insecure. Google are scanning it all and Google are doing X, Y, and Z. And it's like, fine, if you want to move. But it wasn't actually that easy to do.
No.
You had to faff around. At least this way you could actually export and then import your mail again somewhere else. So
it's in mBox format, which apparently is pretty widely used, and iCal for the calendars, so that's all good.
Yeah, the formats are good formats. You know, lots of tools, lots of, you know, clients will import that as well.
And it's kind of Google saying, fine, if you want to go, but you're not going to find anything better.
I think there's better out there, but, you know, see if you're only getting, I don't get, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of mails a day. Today was an exception. I actually got about 45 emails, 50 emails. And I thought, well, I guess it's Christmas. It was all the different e-tailers, you know, saying, come and buy from us. We have a sale on. I was like, I have no money.
We haven't seen you for precisely half a second. Come back. Chromecast also got an update. So Chromecast is Google's little USB type plugin for your TV, which enables you to stream content to your TV. Not available in the UK, you should keep that on the table, but you can buy them off of Amazon if you go through resellers. But they've updated to now include Plex support, which will keep Ian happy, as well as a couple of other sort of cloud providers able to stream now as well.
Yep, so cloud providers, and the main one is that local file support. So there's actually a couple other options in there, including RealPlayer, which I thought was dead. So that
I thought so as well.
It's a bit weird.
RealPlayer cloud. Everything exists in the cloud.
Yeah, but the big one for me was Plex, which was rumoured because the latest Plex server software had some Chromecast, you know, settings and XML files. So people were like, oh, something's coming. And it seemingly works really well. And again, it's not, as you said, not in the UK, 40 quid from a reseller on Amazon. So if you were looking at maybe, you know, it's back to the, you know,
it won't be long before it's here and it'll be about 25 quid probably. So
yep, I mean, I picked up that Apple TV just as a Plex Connect. If this had been out, I would probably just plump for this. Or as I said, the Roku now.
So how is this going to work? Is it so you have Plex running on your PC and you put this in your TV and you can kind of like fling it to your TV effectively? That's the kind of idea, right?
Yep.
Cool. Sounds good.
One thing to point out, you need to be a Plex Pass member. The way Plex now works is a lot of their brand new features are tied to this Plex Pass membership. So I think, is it $20, $30 a year? Lets you get the new features, and maybe in a couple of months' time, everybody else gets it. So there were some people who were hurting about with that, saying that's wrong.
If you're hurting, then just pay the $20.
Exactly. If you're that desperate, then pony up.
Go do it. That's what the money's for. BBC are HDing themselves up a bit more. BBC 3 HD, 4 HD, new HD, as well as the CBBS channel and the CBBC channel. So they've all gone HD, which is great. But they are now trialling in Ireland, and they will be in Wales and Scotland as well, moving on the Sky Planner, moving the HD channels to the primary slots. So moving the SDs down to the lower numbers, which I've been waiting for ages. I guess they're just waiting for the tipping point numbers to go and do that.
They're actually waiting for the regional broadcast to go HD.
Okay, so what, regional news and things like that? Because you still get those regional, we can't broadcast this.
Yes, so it was only, I think, about 6 months ago that BBC Scotland went HD. So 141, which is, so I'm talking about Sky at the moment, but 141, which was always just BBC One, or BBC One England, really, became BBC One Scotland. And they've trialled a swap over and in Ireland. I think it was Ireland.
Did a swap over, BBC One Northern Ireland.
So now in Scotland, it's just like 101 is HD, which is so, see, for folk like my mum, it's great. Because every time I pop down and say, you're on 101. Oh, and it was that sigh, like, oh, caught again.
I just like pressing 101. Yeah. It's easy.
But do you know, like 3 out of 4 times I'm on HD. And it's like, yeah, but 9 out of 10 times you're not. You know, I can play stats if you like.
So that's coming, and they're doing it for BBC Two in England. So they will be again sort of doing that trial swap, I guess, seeing how people react to that, I guess, is what they're after.
And that's because BBC Two is only available in HD for the English channel. So if like BBC Two Scotland, if there's a Scotland football match on, it's only in the SD, but they can't swap that one here. And because they've not done all the English regions in HD, that's why the HD swap hasn't happened in England. On one.
Who knew it was that complicated when all I really just wanted was them to know that the two channels are equivalent. If I've got an HD package, play the HD one.
All I'd like to do is just like, can I not do it myself?
But what, by just pressing the other numbers?
No.
Oh, you mean order your Skyglide?
Yeah, so in the Skyglide.
Yeah, that doesn't seem beyond the realms of what should be possible, does it?
No, like, can you just like class 141 as 101, please?
Yes, a little mapping thing.
Maybe that's not so straightforward.
But then all their marketing, when they go Sky Channel 1, blah, blah. Whatever. Okay. Game porn. No Man's Sky got announced, and you tweeted about it because you got pretty excited. Why did you get excited?
Because I watched the video and I was like, God, I want to play that now. And it was just, I will admit, this is like probably a really ambitious game. And graphics wise, it wasn't advanced. It's not like it's like cutting edge graphics of now, but it's very stylized.
Bit World of Warcraft where World of Warcraft isn't the most polished thing in the world, but it does what it does very well.
And if you just Google No Man's Sky, it'll probably take you to The Verge or YouTube, and you can watch the video. But basically, it was you start off underwater and you're thinking, what's this? Is this some sort of, you know, crazy underwater game? But then the character walks out, jumps in a spaceship, flies off the planet, and then you're seeing a whole lot of space kind of combat-y type things. And then the interviews that came out, and straight away, and the music I thought was excellent as well. And I just was like, oh, I'm sucked into this. And I was like, why isn't this one of our next-gen games? You know, why isn't this, if this had been an Xbox One title or a PS4 title, that could have swayed me. It looked that, but again, it's really ambitious. It's a 4-man studio, and basically
which
what they're saying
doesn't sound very much nowadays at all.
And what they're basically saying is everything is You can visit any star you can see is actually a planet.
They're saying everything's procedural.
Everything's procedural.
All the planets are unique.
Yep.
Yes. And like you say, it is a genuine world that exists, or universe that exists, shall I say.
And I guess it was just some of the stuff. What I noticed as well was just like graphically, it was all like bright colours and garish. And,
yes.
And they said, even the people behind it said, we want the future to be cool again. And it did look like a game that was trying to do something just different.
Reminded me of Elite.
Oh, and it does.
Elite for the modern world.
And I'm sure
you've got all these extra capabilities.
If they added some trading in there, you'll have Elite.
And it certainly looks like they're also, this is a massively multiplayer thing, because it's talking about, this planet discovered by X person. So I guess that was the first person to discover that planet, and that'll be a real person of some sort. So it's got some real potential in there. But like you say, it's quite easy to make a trailer look super sexy, and whether their ambition can be reached by a four-man studio. It's the problem is that some they might have to get a publisher on board at some point, and that's when things get diluted because publishers have their input then.
And I think what they've committed to is it's coming out for PC, and they're talking about next gen, and they said they've had it running on a next gen console but didn't say anything more. And there was lots of people who were like, that's a PS4, that's Sony, they've got it. But both Sony and Microsoft have said, yeah, we were interested in getting this game on our platform, it looks fantastic.
Certainly looks like they're quite a long way down the development route. I mean, who knows what they've actually done as far as the actual engine goes, rather than the the gameplay. But yeah, interesting.
Yep.
Watch
yes.
this space. I can't imagine it's going to be a 2014.
I think they said they did want to do autumn winter next year.
Okay, but that almost certainly means it'll slip.
Yeah, we live in such in such a cynical world.
That's just real life.
God, I'm so tempted to have one of our crazy Mars bar bets that we never follow through on.
That we never even remember we've done.
No.
I can't remember what I was supposed to eat a Mars bar for.
Well, I think you have.
Nottingham teenager gets £450 refund after buying a photo of an Xbox One on eBay.
Yes. No. I should preempt
this. This made the news. This was even on terrestrial TV, I think.
Oh, was it? I didn't see it.
I think so.
What, you watching like Pikey Channel? Yeah, so the seeing I first read it, I was like, this just sums up eBay right now. It's just like full of people fleecing and all that kind of nonsense. And I'm still bitter after my, oh, you missell, and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
But then it was like, well, there was just some little alarm bells when I looked at the and the guy's like 19 and has a 4-year-old son called Mackenzie. Now, I know that shouldn't make me jump to any conclusions.
But it has, and it did.
Yeah.
So he bought a photo, and it did say in the listing that you were buying a photo of an Xbox One. Like you, I want the lister to be in trouble, but the fact is that the lister clearly listed it as a photo, and someone just didn't read.
No. And also, it said the student has saved up in order to buy a limited edition day one version as a surprise Christmas present for his 4-year-old son. McKenzie.
And why does a 4-year-old son need an Xbox One console? He does not.
Bollocks.
That's me being judgmental and very Daily Mail.
Yeah, no, it's a load of bollocks. And it's the fact that he's paid so he's saved up because he wants to buy a surprise present. The wee boy doesn't even know what the clue is in. I mean, obviously, I'll stop there. I was going to. Yeah, it was great. Let's stop.
Get worse and worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, be careful of what you're bidding for on eBay. Make sure you actually read and can read.
And also, don't stereotype people, but come on.
And never, never stereotype people. It's unfair. Any picks?
Peaky. To be honest, I probably should, because it is the last show, isn't it? It is the last of the year. Boson X, BOSONX. It's another one of these fast runner type games. Which,
you love those.
Oh, they're excellent. And it's like this on both platforms, iOS and Android. I just love it because it's like, I don't know, it's like £1.99. It just keeps me occupied for 3-4 weeks. and it gets insanely fast. It's like total Twitch gaming style stuff, and it's like, oh my lord.
You love all that stuff. I play it for a couple of games and I get frustrated.
Yeah, it's actually the same. I started that today, and he's like, oh, for God's sake. He says, next you'll be telling me you've got Pivot. I went, yeah, I've completed it. And he's like, see, they're just the same game. It's the same game, but just done differently. But yeah.
There you go. So that's it?
I think so. I think that was it. Okay. There was a really, actually, a lie. What else was there?
Podcast gold.
Ah, cock off. There was one. I'm just trying to find it. Hold on. Mind Node.
Say that again.
Mind Node. It's an app for doing mind maps. That's what I thought you said. Not a fantastic like one for Christmas, but.
But if you happen to want to mind map something at Christmas, then there you go.
Yep, on iOS, works on iPad, iPhone, and you can get a Mac client as well. Syncs via iCloud and actually works. So if you do mind maps, which I have a tendency to do, it's really nice.
There we go. So that
what
is
about
the
you?
End.
Hold on.
Oh, I haven't any picks. Come play on, Candy Crush.
Oh, that is lame. That is so lame.
That is the end, though, of 2013 for us. We've made it.
We have.
2009 to 2013. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, I was going to say it's 2008.
Might be, but I don't think so.
Really?
Anyway, I only joined in 2009, so that's fine.
Oh, no, you're right, it's 2009.
There you go, yeah. another year done. It's been an interesting enough year. We've had all our new consoles recently and stuff, but covered quite a lot. And we will be back in 2014, starting with CES again, as ever, looking at more stuff.
Yes, which I guess will all be kind of gadgety related. There seems to be lots to talk about all this. I mean, I guess next year surely has got to be the year of the wearables because all the tech companies are developing something.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's one direction. And I think it's going to be a year of the self-drive car as well. Remember Car Train? I think the year of the Car Train is going to become the in thing. You watch this space.
Tell me, I'd eat a box of Mars bars if Car Train ever happened.
It's going to. Heck, we've got self-driving cars in the UK now. It's not just happening in, you know, Silicon Valley. It's actually happening here.
No, that's true. Milton Keynes, wasn't it?
Was it Milton Keynes? Yeah, I think it was.
It's all the roundabouts.
Yeah, that's it. So I think I have a sneaky suspicion that's going to be accelerating next year. There you go. My pun on cars.
I just wanted to make my convoy kind of car train. Woo woo. Let's all get on the car train.
There we go. Just watch this face. You've laughed at my statements before now, and I think I might be onto something here. Anyway, that is it, and we will talk to you in 2014. So I'll speak to you then. Oh, in the meantime, if you want to find out about what we're doing, which we won't be doing anything, we'll be just relaxing. digitaloutbox.com. Email us, Twitter us. Hang on, this is very end of year, isn't it? This is really not going well. Email us, info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as GZUK, and you can follow my racing stuff, academyracer.co.uk. At some point, I'm going to have to update that because I'm no longer in the academy. I'm in road sports.
So does that mean a new domain?
I have bought some new domains. I just don't know what to do, whether to archive off the Academy Race a bit. And leave that as a standalone.
Did you ever close that all off? Because I seem to remember at one point you said, I will tell you how much all this scarily costs.
Yes, and I gave that up because the numbers were getting so big that it got embarrassing. And then instead of actually answering people with what the really costs, I just said, I don't know, because I stopped adding it up.
But you do know, don't you?
I don't. And I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I can give rough regional areas, but not anywhere where my mum and dad can hear.
Hey, as long as you're happy.
Exactly. So yes, where can we find you, Ian?
IanD.net. I am halfway through my rant about the Xbox.
Excellent.
I actually had to stop. I was getting so annoyed. I was actually starting to mistype everything and I was trying to walk away.
Certainly waiting for the update, please, Microsoft.
Oh yeah, it's today, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, it was, but the update is like pants stuff, like
But it didn't really do anything like the fundamental.
The smart glass works better and all that. I mean,
you know what? I just thought the other day, smart glass, if you've got that turned on, it's easier to invite people into games.
It is. And that says it all.
Which is, yeah, exactly. So someone thought, oh, wow, you can invite friends through smart glass. Oh, we won't bother with doing it on the actual console. But yeah, I was, you know, if you've got smart glass running, you can invite friends. There you go.
It's just, I still don't get how they can mess live up. How could you not just have taken live and said, let's port
that
it,
works.
Put it on top of new hardware, and then we can iterate from there. It's like, no, let's rip it up, start again. I mean, I was explaining to my boss today, party, invite to party. Why are we all silent? Oh, I need to then turn on party chat. Surely people don't want to chat within their party. Surely they just want to take them into a game.
As I say, the opposite, it would be fine. So if you want to go into a game with a party and chat to everyone else in the room, then turn party chat off. Don't have to turn it on just to talk to your party.
And even the whole, you come on and you know, like me, Bomb, Rave and Bernie could be racing and we just never see you come on.
It doesn't say that you're online.
And you don't know we're online unless you go and fire up the Friends app, which doesn't default to showing you who's on.
No, because then you have to go all the way back to the desktop to come back to the Friends app again. It's just ridiculous.
No, just say Xbox, Friends.
Okay, but no one does that.
See, the other thing I noticed, I was looking through the voice commands. Xbox, show my stuff. Who the hell is going to say that? Xbox, show. I mean, you're better just saying Xbox, play with my junk. You know, it's just ridiculous. And then there's things like Xbox on, which turns it on. And I now realise why when I say Xbox off, it doesn't work. You've got to say Xbox turn off.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Xbox on, Xbox turn off. What? Why?
Because Xbox off is probably just sounds too similar to other things and probably had positives. And false positives.
So why not say Xbox turn on? Were they worried that people were like, oh, look.
Because they don't mind it turning on when you don't want it to.
It's pants.
It is pants. You're right. They better sort their life out.
Anyway, for more ranty McRants,
get to ind.net.
Twitter.com/Reaper.
Thank you very much. And we will talk at you in the new year. Goodbye.
Goodbye, young Christopher.
Goodbye. Old Ian. You old fart.